If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 8. We want to look at these first four verses of the 8th chapter of Matthew. It is good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming and being here. I know you could be a lot of different places this morning. There are a lot of churches in Pickens and Greenville County, but you came here, and we're grateful and thankful for that, and we pray the Lord will just bless our time together today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we were reminded in Sunday school this morning that all authority rests with Christ. And we understand that as your word goes forth this morning, it goes forth with the authority of God, who has authority over all things, all people, all hearts, all minds, all wills. God, it is not us, it's not men who are trying to do anything. We're simply being obedient to your word that said, proclaim the truth. And then our dependence is in the power of the Spirit of God to take your word and to, with all authority, cause it to be heard, to be received, to be understood, and to be done. So I pray that your word would go forth, and our desire is that it would do exactly and accomplish exactly what you have designed for it to accomplish. We pray that could be the saving of a soul for the glory of God. We pray that it could be that a wayward Christian who has wandered away would be brought back. And we pray it could be that all of us today are drawn to a closer fellowship and communion with you that would result in our rejoicing in your glorification. So receive our praise and worship. Do a work in us that only you can do. We'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 1, Matthew chapter number 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. All God's people said, Amen. So we're looking at Scripture in these days on Sunday morning through the filter of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Now remember, our definition of miracles comes from Wayne Grudem, who defines a miracle as a less common kind of God's activity in which he arouses people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself. So a miracle is designed to bear witness of Christ. And I want us to begin to think about some of those miracles that Christ performed. We began last week and we continue this week. Because the miracles of Jesus had a particular significance. The purpose of the miracles of Christ was to authenticate who He was and who He said He was. Therefore, the miracles of Christ are not performed. They are not performed so that we in 2018 could look at them and expect God to do the same thing for us. That's not their intention. We make that their intention. It's not their intention. We are not to conclude from looking at Jesus delivering the disciples and Peter from the sea or the storm that Jesus will deliver us from the storms of our life. And we're not to conclude from the parable, from the miracle today, that He will heal us from all of our diseases. It's not the intention. He can. That's not the message of the miracle. The miracles are to prove who He is and that He has the power to save us from our sins. We make this terrible error of always taking biblical things, applying them to physical things, when biblical things should be applied to spiritual things. Say amen. So last week we looked at the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. And we concluded that Jesus has the power. Jesus proved that He has the power to save us from the sea of sin that we are all drowning in. He saves us from eternal death. Say amen. Today we're going to unpack this miracle in Matthew 8, the miracle of the cleansing of the leper. I want to unpack it this way. I want us to look at, firstly, the disease of the leper. Then I want us to look at the declaration of the leper. And then finally, the demands placed upon the leper. So let's begin by looking at the disease itself. The disease of the leper. The most dreaded disease of biblical times was the disease of leprosy. Now, not all that were classified as lepers, necessarily had the disease we think of today. The term leper covered an assortment of skin diseases, but all of them were treated as if they did or had the disease of leprosy because they very well may have. To have leprosy was to have a terrible condition. To hear the doctor confirm the diagnosis that you have leprosy was something you just never wanted to hear. It not only affected the skin with sores and splotches, but it also corrupted the blood and rotted the bones. To have leprosy was to have your entire body ravaged through and through. It was to be literally living death. According to the law as set forth in Leviticus 13 and 14, a leper was banished from all human contact, removed from the family, from the workplace, removed from the synagogue and from the market, and cast outside of the city to live by themselves. The person inflicted had to wear torn clothing, had to let his hair be unkempt to cover the lower part of his face, and whenever he was around other people, cry out, "Unclean, unclean." The reason that these restrictions were placed upon the leper was that the disease was contagious. To touch a person with leprosy was to become ceremonially unclean. The disease of leprosy had no known cure. It brought to the person who had it shame, sorrow, and wretchedness. What I'm trying to do is paint the picture that to be a leper was a horrible, terrible thing. And it is clear that leprosy in the Bible represents sin. It represents the corruption of sin. It represents the judgment of sin. And I would remind you this morning that sinners are shut off from the very presence of God. The barrier between God and them is their sin. Adam and Eve were shut out of the garden following their sin. The angels, after sinning, were cast out of the very presence of God in heaven. And sinners, as sinners, we are contaminated by sin. Every part of us is defiled by sin. No faculty that we have has been left unaffected by sin. Of course, we understand that like leprosy, our sin has the tendency to affect and infect others. And our sin will eventually bring death and damnation. It has no cure except in Christ. So when we look at this miracle, we are not just to see Christ healing the physical disease of leprosy, but we are to see the symbolism here that Jesus Christ has not only power to heal the physical leprosy, He has the power to heal the spiritual leprosy. And if you're here today in your sins, you're here today without Christ. He is not your Savior. He is not your Lord. I'm here to tell you, you are in a horrible condition today. And you may not realize it, but I want to tell you, you are terribly sick. You are cut off from God. You have been condemned unclean. A lost sinner is just like this leper that comes to Christ. So we see the disease itself. But I want you to know the declaration. I want you to see the declaration of the leper here as well. Read with me again verses 1 through 3. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole, or make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So as bad as leprosy is, as horrible as leprosy is, and as horrible as our sinful condition is, there is hope in Christ. I want you to notice what the leper does. Because we are told here to behold what he does, right? And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, so behold what this leper does. He has this horrible disease that is ravaging his body, and there is no cure. So what does he do? He comes to Christ. Say amen. He comes to Christ. And when he comes to Christ, he doesn't come arrogantly or flippantly. He comes and worships Christ. He kneels before Christ, worships Christ, and says to Christ, if you will, you can make me clean. Now in all of this, I think the leper is declaring two things. The two things that I think every sinner has to declare to be healed of their sinfulness. Number one, the first is that he is declaring who he is. He is admitting that he is in a horrible condition. He is admitting that he is in a tight spot. He is recognizing his uncleanliness. He is confessing that he has a disease that cannot be cured. He is admitting that he cannot cure it himself. No one on earth can cure it themselves. He comes to Christ because he clearly sees who he really is. He knew he could not change his condition by trying to improve his surroundings. He could not make resolutions and improve his condition. He could not turn over a new leaf. He was a leper and would always be a leper unless something miraculous happened. Say amen. And I'm here to tell you, you are a sinner today without Christ, and you'll always be that unless something miraculous happens. It is amazing to me how blind lost sinners are to their own sinful condition. Say amen. It's often been said, you can't get someone found until you get them lost. And so many sinners just do not see their own true condition of lostness. They fail to look at their hands and see the splotches from the evil they have done. They fail to look in their hearts and feel the aching of sin's corruption. They deny the cravings of their sinful nature. They fail to see where they delight in that which is sinful and perverse. They dismiss their ugly thoughts. They do not see their ugliness, their ungodliness, or their uncleanliness. And because they don't see their own condition, they have no desire or need for Christ. Say amen. Unless this man had seen his horrible condition and knew there was no earthly cure, he would have never come to Christ. Say amen. And until we see our condition, we will not come to Christ either. Say amen. But let me say this. Even though we might go through our lifetime lacking acknowledgement of our sinful condition, it doesn't change the fact. Say amen. And when Jesus comes, He will light up all those things that we have been blind to all of our lives. Then it will be too late. So he comes to Christ, and coming to Christ, he's recognizing who he is. He is a leper who is condemned, who is dying, and has no hope in and of himself. The second thing I think the leper declares here is not only who he is, but who Christ is. He doesn't go to anyone, he goes to Christ. He doesn't go to the king, he goes to Christ. He doesn't go to the doctor, he goes to Christ. He doesn't go to the priest, he goes to Christ. You with me? And he goes to Christ because Christ represents this man's only hope. That's why he came to Christ. He kneels and he worships Christ because he recognizes Christ as the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he is worthy of the worship of all men. And he must recognize that Christ alone has the ability to cleanse him from his disease. Say amen. His faith is amazing because up to this point in the ministry of Christ, Jesus has not healed a leper. For this man to have faith that Christ can heal his leprosy when Christ has not yet healed a leper is amazing. But this leper believes that man can. And I want you to see something here. It was not Jesus who put a sign up and was crying out for lepers to come for healing. There are no promises here. There are no promises made to this man. But this man believes that he can be healed by Christ and Christ alone if Christ were to will to heal him. Now notice here, it's not a group effort. It's Christ. He doesn't go to Christ and the apostles. He goes to who? Christ alone. It is Christ alone in whom his faith rests as having the ability to heal him of this horrible disease. So he recognizes his own condition. He is a leper. He has an incurable disease that will ultimately condemn him and damn him and kill him. And he recognizes that Jesus is truly God, and he places himself in the hands of Christ for Christ to do with him as Christ pleases. He makes no demands on Christ. He simply says, I believe that you, as the Son of God, can heal me if you choose to. And I'm hoping, and I'm praying, you choose to. Say amen. Now, do you see in that the seed of how people are saved from their sins? A sinner must see their own horrible and helpless condition, or they won't come to Christ. Only the sick need a physician. Say amen. The sinner must see his sinfulness. He must see his inability to do anything about his sinfulness. He must see his condemnation and his eternal punishment for that sin. And then he must also recognize Christ as the Son of God, or he'll go everywhere else. The sinner must come to Jesus in faith, knowing and believing that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Say amen. If we simply see our bad condition and not see who Christ is, we'll just go to the wrong places. Say amen. Can we agree this morning that an alcoholic doesn't really need AAA, they need Christ? Say amen. So he truly saw himself. He truly wanted relief from his disease. He sincerely sought help from the only one that could actually help him. And the three most wonderful words to this leper and to us as sinners comes from the mouth of Christ. The leper says, right? I believe you're able to heal me. You're able to cleanse me, if you will. And what does Jesus say? I am willing. It is a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous, amazing thing that Jesus is just as willing to save us as he has the power to save us. He desires that sinners would come to him, and he saves. Listen, he saves every single sinner that truly and sincerely comes to him. None who genuinely come ever find an unwilling Savior. Then Jesus pronounces that he's clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleared according to Matthew. Now my question here is, how did a pronouncement, how did mere words from the lips of Christ heal this man? And we might be quick to say, well, he's God. He has the power to do anything and everything he wants to do. And that's true, but it's not how God saves people, is it? He doesn't just pronounce us saved. So I want you to look at what happens right before Christ pronounces this man's cleansing. Because the Bible says Jesus put forth his hand and what? Touched him. That is a no-no. You don't touch lepers. Why? Number one, as a Jew, you become ceremonially unclean. Number two, you could contract the disease yourself. Say amen. But can you imagine how long it had been since this leper had felt the touch of another human being? And Jesus has compassion and touches him. Now, I have read a lot of people who have made a big deal about Jesus touching this man and not being able to contract the illness. And I understand that, but I don't think that's the point. I think the point of Matthew saying Jesus reached out his hand and touched him is that Jesus forgives us of our sins and he heals sinners of their sin disease in the fact that he becomes unclean for them and that he takes their disease and all of its consequences. It is symbolic. Yes, Christ does become unclean. Yes, Christ does absorb his disease. That's the symbolism here. The reason we can be saved is because Jesus Christ reached out and touched us and took our sins. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took our pain. He took our wrath. Our punishment. Listen, Christ becomes a curse for us. And you remember what happens to the leper? He's banished from the presence of God. Say amen. From his family. From all contact. And on the cross, do you remember what happened? Jesus' Father forsakes him. What did Christ do when he reached out and touched this leper? He took the separation. He took the sin. He took the disease. And Christ, of course, would be crucified where? Outside the city. And on the cross, Christ dies our death. And he did all that so that he might pronounce us clean. He did that so that we would have access to God. He did that so we might live. How can this leper walk away that day cleansed? Simply from a word of Christ. Because Christ is going to go to the cross and take his disease, take its consequences, take its punishment, die in his place. That's why. And that's why a sinner can find forgiveness in Christ, because of the work of Christ. So Jesus touches him and identifies with him and becomes unclean for him. That is why he can pronounce him clean, and that is why he can pronounce us forgiven. Listen to me. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Write it down. Put it on a poster and hang it in your room. Salvation is a gift of God. It is not a reward for good behavior. This leper gets a gift. He doesn't deserve anything. What's he done? But God gives him grace. And you know what I have done for Christ? Zero. I am saved because only what Christ has done for me. It is a gift, not a reward for good work. Say amen. But I want to show you one further point of this miracle that I think we need to quickly consider. Verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him after his cleansing, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So Jesus says, go show yourself, commands him to go show himself to the priest. Why? Because that's what the Word of God said to do. Say amen. Leviticus says the procedure of the healing, if any leper is healed, they are to go first to the priest and show him, and the priest can then verify his healing. So the Word of God says go to the priest, and Jesus says what you need to do is go to the priest. And in that, I conclude that those who have been cleansed of their sins are to then be obedient to the Word of God. Is that too much to expect from someone who's been saved? That they would then be obedient to hearing and obeying the Word of God? Is that not the evidence of their salvation, that they are willing to be obedient to the one who has cured them of their sinfulness? Then he says that he was to offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What did Moses command? Well, Moses commanded burnt offering, according to the sacrificial offering system of the Jews. And so what this man was to do, he was to go to the priest in obedience to the Word of God, and then he was to offer sacrifices at the temple in obedience to Moses' command. And, of course, those things, those sacrifices go away. Judaism and the priesthood goes away in that sense upon the death and the resurrection of Christ. So what does this mean for us, this symbolism that is the law of Moses? And here's what I think it means. Because the sacrifices were symbols of their repentance and their praise, I think that we as born-again believers, those of us who have been cured of our sin, I think we are to offer repentance when we disobey. Say amen. And we're to offer praise to Jesus for our forgiveness. Say amen. So, what do Christians do? What do believers do after they have been cured of their sin, after they have been forgiven? Number one, we are to be obedient to the Word of God. Number two, we are to repent when we're not. Number three, in every area of life, we ought to praise and magnify and glorify Jesus Christ, who said, I am willing to save you. That's what we do. We obey, we repent, we praise. And my life is to be lived that way. My life is to be obedient to His Word, repentant when I'm not, praising the One who has healed me from my incurable disease of sin. And continuous praise is for His ability and His willingness to save a wretch like me. Say amen. So again, this is not about, you see, God healed that leper, He can heal me physically. No, it's about God healed a leper to show you that He has the power and the willingness to heal every sinner that would come to Him, seeing their own condition and seeing that He is their only hope. Say amen. And then we obey and repent and praise. That's my life. Right? Is that your life? I'm trying to obey, but when I don't, I repent. But all along, I'm praising the Lord for saving my sin-sick soul. Amen? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we wait for just a moment, praying that as the Holy Spirit has maybe been dealing with a heart, that You would continue to deal with them at this time. They would see their own condition. They would look down at their own hands, and instead of seeing physically healthy hands, they would see spiritually leper hands that have done evil things. They would look at their legs and not see physical healthy legs, but they would see leper legs that have taken them to evil places. They would look to their mind and they would see the leprosy there and their will. They would see that they have this sin sickness that cannot be cured by any other but Jesus Christ. And seeing that they are condemned and will die of this sin sickness and be punished in hell, they will see that Christ is the only answer. The Son of God is their only hope. And they will not only recognize themselves, but they would come to Christ. Worship Him, and they would cry out to Him, save me. And Jesus will say, I will. And He will pronounce cleanness on them because of what He has done on the cross. And then they can go live the rest of their days glorifying Him, obeying Him, bringing glory to Him, repenting where they fail, always desiring to honor Christ with their lives. May that be true of every one of us, but those that is not true of today, I pray that You would, the Spirit would convict them and they would come and they would speak to me about those things honestly, truthfully, sincerely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.